The sound of community is a joyful noise to the Lord. Well, we are still in our series looking at spiritual gifts or our spiritual DNA, how God has designed us for particular ministry roles that when we serve in those ways, it is life-giving, not life-draining. Last week, we looked at the spiritual DNA for teaching, which was communicating relevant information about a ministry in a way that others actually want to learn. The special gift. This week we are looking at the spiritual DNA for giving. And some pastors are reluctant to talk about money. I remember in the church where I grew up, on Stewardship Sunday, he would always bring in his not very shy Baptist friend to talk about money, and we wouldn't hear about it the rest of the year. I am not that pastor. I am more like one of my mentors who was in a church in Houston, and this church had an oil tycoon in it who was a billionaire. And he set up a meeting early on in his, by the way, I'm not aware of any billionaires in our church, so this doesn't apply here. But he set up a meeting with this oil tycoon, and the guy was about 10 minutes late and had the best excuse ever for being late to a meeting, which was, sorry, I had to cut short my meeting with the President of the United States to get here. And so there were a couple of things that I thought were healthy that came out of that meeting. One was on behalf of the oil tycoon. He said he didn't think it was healthy if one person gave too much percentage of the budget, that would others missed out on the opportunity for stewardship. And so he said, here's the percentage that I think is okay, and just set your budget and send me the bill, and I'll cut you a check. I think that's kind of a healthy approach, though, to realize that other people need to participate in giving. And by the way, if anyone wants to do that percentage of the budget thing, just let me know. We'll be glad to do that. But the other healthy thing came from my pastor friend who told this man, everyone in this church, whenever they have an idea, they're going to want to come to you to fund it. We just know that's going to happen. But here's what I promise you. If you write down three things that you are really passionate about, your love it list, if someone comes to me with a ministry idea and it's not on your love it list, I'm going to be a wall between you and them. I'm not going to let them come to you. But if their idea is on your love it list, I'm coming after you like a hound dog. And the oil tycoon thought that was a great idea, wrote down his three love it's, and they went from there. So I think that was another healthy thing. So when it comes to the spiritual gift or the spiritual DNA for giving, I'm very comfortable talking about it, partially because giving is my number three spiritual gift, and partially because I'm a pastor, the Bible is my content, and the Bible talks about money all the time. Jesus told 38 different parables, 16 of them were about possessions and money. One out of every 10 verses in the Gospels deal directly with the subject of money. If you count the verses in the Bible about prayer, there's about 500. If you count the number about faith, it's a little less than 500. If you count how many are about money or possessions, it's 2,000. So if the Bible is your content, you're going to run into this pretty frequently, not just once a year on Stewardship Sunday, getting your Baptist friend to do it for you. So we have had, the spiritual DNA for giving, though, the obvious thing is your personal giving. I think we all know that's part of that. But there are other ways to use the spiritual DNA or the God designing you for giving. We've had ministries here that got their start because someone had a vision, someone had an idea, and they approached others to fund it. That's marshaling resources for a ministry, not just your own giving. And that is an example, a way to use your spiritual DNA for giving. Or maybe it's helping an organization through cost savings. This is one of my skills, although in our particular household, Becca is the one who is a third degree black belt in cost control. But a few years ago here at the church, we switched our database. And it's a lot of work to switch a database. And we didn't do it because it was so much better than the old one. It helped us in a few ways. But really, as the high-tech member of our staff, I was the one having to do a lot of the work to switch and to train Eleanor on it. And why was it worth my time to do that? Because it saved us several thousand dollars a year going forward. That's cost savings. That's an example of me using my spiritual DNA for giving. And so as we talk about this spiritual DNA, it really encompasses any way that you can contribute to the resources of a ministry. It might be your own giving. It might be marshaling the resources from others. It might be helping the ministry be more efficient with their money. Whatever it is, It's a ways of using your spiritual DNA for giving to make sure the ministries you love have all the resources they need to succeed. In our text today, the Apostle Paul is exercising some of that spiritual DNA. There's a lot going on in this letter to the church in Corinth, but we're going to focus on this one part where he is asking them for an offering for the church in Jerusalem. Now, the church in Corinth that is receiving this letter, they had a lot of resources. There is a wealthy trade city. But the church in Jerusalem was very, very poor. And so Paul is asking the church with resources to contribute to the church that did not have resources. But I do want to note, you may have heard this passage used elsewhere and maybe misused. Because in this particular passage, Paul he's trying to make his sales pitch, right? And he's doing that partially by reminding the Corinthians of the blessings they will receive when they give to this offering. And so some take this passage, I think, out of context and say that this means that if you give to the church, you will be in turn blessed materially more than you gave. Like, this is like a money-making scheme, right? The more you give to the church, the more God will give you, guaranteed, especially if it's my ministry. If you give to my ministry, then God will really bless you. Somehow that always goes together. I don't know why. So I think this passage does talk about the blessings we receive when we give, but it ignores the rest of the context. Because just before this, Paul writes to the Corinthians, they were wondering, you know, Paul, you've suffered a lot. Are you sure that God is, like, on your side? And he is defending himself and thanking God for how he has suffered in the name of Christ. And so, the man who just praised God for how much he had suffered for his ministry cannot be the same person saying, if you give more money, God will take suffering away from you. Those two do not go together at all, and they're here in the same chapter. So that cannot be what Paul means. To use a theological term, that's hogwash. So Paul is not saying that you are guaranteed to be blessed by God materially more than you give, but what is he saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6? The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly and not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. I will never forget the opening line to one of the resources we were looking at in my stewardship class in seminary. The opening line was, a little guilt never hurt anybody. To which I respond with Paul's words from our text today. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Paul is not leading with a little bit of guilt there. Or we can even go to, you know, Paul is being kind of upbeat here, but there are times, plenty of times in the Bible where it's not upbeat. Let's go to one of those negative passages. My men's Bible study just finished looking at the minor prophets, and we just finished Malachi this last week, the last book in the Old Testament. And in this section, God brings the heat on Israel because of the way they're doing their offerings. Instead of bringing like the best goat from their flock, they're bringing the one that's blind and missing two legs that they didn't want anyway. Oh yeah, I'll offer that to God. And instead of bringing the full, you know, 10% tithe that God told them to do, they're bringing the table scraps, the leftovers. And God is less than enthused about how they're approaching it, but he doesn't come out and guilt them. Instead, he addresses them very particularly and says, you're being unfaithful. Unfaithful is an issue of the heart. And that's what we see over and over and over again in those 2,000 Bible passages about money and possessions, is that God addresses our heart whenever he addresses giving. Because giving affects our heart so greatly. Jesus said in our first text today, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says that how we earn, how we spend, how we give, that is to our heart what our eyes are to our ability to see. He says, if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And so there are four times as many passages about money and possessions as there are on prayer, because our approach to our money and our possessions has one of the biggest impacts on our heart and soul. Psalm 51 says that God desires a person who has a broken and a contrite heart. That's impossible if your worldview is all wrapped up in accumulation. Those are mutually incompatible. Like putting diesel fuel into your gasoline car, it's not going to work. So God cares deeply about how we earn, how we spend, how we give, because God cares deeply about our hearts. And that's also why I have no problem or hesitance talking about giving, because I care deeply about the orientation of our hearts as well. We see in Scripture that it's not about the amount, it's about the heart. I remember there's a story where Jesus sees this widow sneak up and drop in two little pennies in the offering plate, and he says that her offering was worth more than all the other people because she gave what she didn't have. She was faithful. He didn't care about the amount. He cared about the heart. And so for all of us, we can think about, what's the direction of our heart? Are we trending toward a more generous heart or a more hoarding heart? Do we have more open hands or more closed fists? What's your trend line? What's the direction of your heart? And how can you move that trend line closer to God's generosity? I've shared my concept of the giving ladder before, but I'll share it again here. If you've never given anything to God's purposes before, give something. That's the first rung on the ladder. It might just be two pennies. But giving something to God's purposes is the first rung on the ladder. If you've done that before, try giving occasionally. Every time you're at church, throw something into the offering plate. That's another rung on the ladder, moving from once to occasionally. If you already give occasionally, try giving regularly, setting aside an amount per month. You can even set it up online to automatically give. You don't even have to think about it. That's another rung on the ladder. Now, if you already give regularly, think about giving proportionally. A percentage of your annual income. And this is a conversation with the Holy Spirit, who knows everything about your personal context, by the way. The Holy Spirit can lead you to what that might be. For you, it might be 1%. For another, it might be 5%. For someone else, it might be 10%. Whatever it is, have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. That's another rung on the ladder. If the Spirit asks you to raise that percentage, that's another rung on the ladder. Or if you're on a fixed income, and your costs are going up and you leave your giving the same, that's the same thing as another rung on the ladder. It's orienting your heart because it's harder for you. Now, some of us are called to go even further. This is not for everyone. This isn't like a spiritual badge of honor. It's just something that the Spirit asks some people to do sometimes, which is to give sacrificially. God sometimes calls you to give sacrificially because of a special offering, like Paul is asking from the church in Corinth. Some special thing. Or maybe you have that spiritual DNA for giving. Sometimes God wires people, designs people to enjoy giving at a level that it affects how they live. And that's what it means to give sacrificially. Maybe you don't get a new car when you want. Maybe you're not, you know, renovating your kitchen. Maybe you're not going on a trip. Something like that, where it actually affects your daily life or affects how you live. That's giving sacrificially. And again, that's not a requirement for everyone. The Holy Spirit sometimes asks some people to do that, though. So wherever you are on that ladder, ask the Holy Spirit if you're being called to go up one more rung. And if you do, you will help your heart trend toward God's generosity. And it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. Now, Paul has another concept in our text today. He says that God loves a cheerful giver. And then he ends this appeal for a gift with this exclamation, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." And he's not talking about the Corinthians' gift. He's talking about the gift of this opportunity to give. That's what he's telling them. It's kind of like if you've ever given to God's purposes and then you felt thankful later, like, "Man, I'm so grateful I was a part of what happened there." That's what Paul is trying to picture here. And here's how I picture that. My two boys love the show Daniel Tiger. And if you aren't up on your kids' shows, first off, blessed art thou. But Daniel Tiger is not too bad. It's an animated refresh of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And so it's the same basic idea, but it's a cartoon, and it takes place inside Mr. Rogers' land of make-believe. That's where it's set. And so one day, I had the boys at Target, and Caleb, my youngest, loves to go look at the TVs at Target, and I think he's going to be a big spender later. Now, what he doesn't know is that, you know, his parents haven't bought a TV in like 8 years and have no intention to do so until it's, you know, spewing flames out the back. But we were going down the aisle to indulge him, and you have to go through the toy aisles, of course, to get to the TVs, and that's when I spotted it. This little red Daniel Tiger smartphone toy. And you could push the button and hear Mom Tiger say "Ugga Mugga," which means "I love you" in tiger speak. Or you could hear the iconic trolley go ding ding. And I'm not an impulse buyer as a rule, but I decided to get it for the boys. And a year later, it still generates fights over who gets to hold the Daniel Tiger phone. That is the definition of a home run gift. Right? And it was like $10 or less. So that's perfect for me. Now, when we give to God's purposes and we see lasting impact because of that, the joy in that scenario is like the joy of a parent giving their kids a home run gift. And so the key is to find ways to exercise your generosity in a ministry that gives you that kind of joy in your heart. And as I mentioned before, that might mean your own giving. It might mean marshaling others' resources. It might mean helping the ministry be more efficient. Whatever generosity is for you, when you find that joyful spot, go after it like a Daniel Tiger phone. If you love this church, you know, then you might pledge your regular giving. But on top of that, are there specific ministries that bring joy to your heart? Those are opportunities for extra generosity out of your joy. If you love to see children and youth around here, is there any special offering you can make for Allie or Carly in those ministries? If you love the sanctuary, maybe it's a special gift for repairing the pews or new carpet or the organ. If you love special music, maybe it's a gift to the special music fund. If you love our church's history and want to contribute to its future when you have gone on to enjoy the saints in heaven, maybe that's putting the church in your will. It's another way to do that. That's the special handout today in your bulletin was how to include the church in your will. That's another form of generosity, blessing the future. Whatever ministry you love is an opportunity for extra generosity. And it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. And so if you have the spiritual DNA for giving, and as a side note, statistically, giving and helping are the two most common by far. So if that's you, if you've got that spiritual DNA, I encourage you to find your Daniel Tiger phone. Find something that's on your love it list, like that oil tycoon. What are the two or three things you absolutely love? And make sure that ministry has all the resources it needs to thrive. That's what it looks like to exercise your spiritual DNA for giving. And if you do that, if you help a ministry you love have the resources it needs, I guarantee you, you will experience joy as you see that ministry thrive. Sisters and brothers, God cares deeply about our generosity because how we earn, how we spend, how we give deeply affects our heart and our soul, and God cares deeply about our heart and our soul. All of us can draw our hearts closer to God by taking one more step, one more rung on the ladder of generosity. But it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. But if you do have that spiritual DNA for giving, what's on your love it list? Can you literally write down two or three ministries that you absolutely love, that you would love to see expand and thrive? How can you help the ministries on your love it list have all the resources they need to make that happen? Whether it's your own giving or marshaling resources or controlling costs, whatever it is, if you help the ministry thrive in that way, you'll experience joy. Where is the Holy Spirit ready to do something in our midst, but we still need to unleash the resources to make it happen? If you have the spiritual DNA for giving, that's where you come in. Amen.